Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Looking forward to speaking to Annabel Bishop, who is from Investec, the chief economist over there. Just to unpack the story a little bit more. Annabel, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. Now I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Welcome. I've been on the line for a while. I've listened to everything you've said, so that's great.
I think the headset actually dislodged, so we couldn't hear you. No problem. Okay. I'm very, very happy to have you with us. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. So, yeah, maybe we can just unpack a little bit the Palapala case. And straight away, we saw the impact on the economy. Maybe you can just speak us through a little bit of, you know, what happened as the report came out and what happened to the economy.
Yes, of course. Look, essentially, the report is really a review, and it's supposed to be an independent analysis of whether Cyril Ramaphosa, our president, is actually liable for any wrongdoing. And this relates to theft of money at his home, or a property that belongs to him, should I rather say, Falafala. And of course, it's a game farm, and particularly to the sale of a buffalo for $580,000. I think what's interesting is that a lot of the allegations made in the report, the Section 89 report that we're talking about here, the Falafala panel report, were unfounded from the point of view they didn't have very, very hard evidence. So it really implied that, you know, perhaps he'd had wrongdoing, perhaps he wasn't a sale of a buffalo, perhaps the Sudanese businessman didn't even exist. And, of course, you know, why didn't he report the theft? You know, many factors along those lines. I think that the concern came in that the independent review was supposed to be independent, wasn't supposed to favour one of the individuals, you know, giving evidence as such. And, you know, the panel themselves concluded that perhaps Arthur Fraser's commentary was hearsay, it was rumoured, it wasn't founded on facts. But that is why the report is seen as quite flimsy. It's interesting to see that CNN themselves apparently had an interview with a Sudanese businessman that he does admit to buying a buffalo, and even said he declared his foreign exchange, the dollar that he bought in South Africa, the foreign exchange control at the O.R. Tambo airport. So, you know, there's a lot of other factors coming to light as well. And, of course, you know, the fact that the money itself was stolen, you know, the reality of the situation is apparently, I was listening to Julie Monsanto speaking yesterday, she said that apparently the wrong law has been applied there, that the law that should be applied is one for money laundering, corruption, etc. And the fact that he did report the theft to his head of security actually does mean he did the right thing. So I just think that there's so many uncertainties at the moment. I think that is why it's so important that this report goes to the Constitutional Court, as the President plans, to go on review, to find the validity. And, of course, it's such extreme national importance to us to find out, you know, what the truth of the matters are, and, in fact, whether the President did or did not do anything wrong. But I think, you know, it's positive news that he has not just resigned immediately and hasn't, you know, objected to the situation. And the financial markets have obviously strengthened the consequence. It's better news for the country because people are fearing that perhaps instead we would have RET factions take over, that we find ourselves another period of, you know, state capture and corruption. And I think, you know, Ramaphosa seemed to be against that. So this is where we're standing today. But I think, you know, there are some other factors still up ahead. We still have the ANC elective conference in a couple of weeks' time, the impeachment process in Parliament as well. A piece of good news from, you know, the front supporting Cyril Ramaphosa was that the NEC of the ANC, the National Elective Committee, the National Executive Committee, they support Ramaphosa in opposing the Falafala report. And, you know, from that perspective, it would seem unlikely he would be impeached in Parliament summarily.
Yes, it's interesting because as that report broke, there was straight away speculations, you know, the president is resigning tonight or he's going to be, you know, kicked out. And obviously we saw the rand-dollar exchange going crazy. As economists, you would think that, you know, people would take a much more secure approach to say, let us, you know, gather the facts, what has happened. I think before anything even unfolded, you know, as you're saying now, so much has changed since that afternoon. How can we possibly, you know, obviously people watch the news and they also want their money to be secure. But how can such a report have such an impact on the economy in such a short time?
I think, you know, part of the appeal of Ramaphosa is that he has been seen as corruption-free. People didn't believe necessarily that he was involved in wrongdoing. I think that perhaps there was maybe some hope that the father-father report would find that, you know, there wasn't evidence necessarily of wrongdoing. But be that as it may, I think, you know, the fact that there was such a significant market reaction means that the markets meant that people looking at the report believe that perhaps this is now the definitive outcome. And then, of course, the natural recourse, which may well have been fueled by Cyril Ramaphosa's opponent, that now he's definitely going to resign, you know, we can take over. All of those factors, I think, fed into the fear, the anxiety, the, you know, negative market reaction. I think it's quite key to note, however, that the person who was making a lot of the allegations in the report, Arthur Fraser, seemed to have himself been instrumental in state capture, seemed to be part of the RET faction, so definitely part of the opponents of Ramaphosa. I think the bigger picture really is that there was an attempt to destabilise Ramaphosa before the ANC elective conference, to remove him from the ability to be president, and, you know, to really stop him, because we've seen a lot of action now to prosecute, you know, the corrupt in South Africa, to stop this prosecution of corruption, and to perhaps bring back state capture. So there's all those sorts of potential thoughts that people might have had in their heads, which could have caused that big market reaction. I think many people are gratified to know that, no, the father-father report is not the definitive word on the situation, that we are going to see a proper judicial review, hopefully by independent judge, hopefully, you know, proper evidence will be brought to bear on all the different concerns that they have. And I think, you know, if that is true, and if, you know, it comes out as the review clears Ramaphosa of any wrongdoing as a strong positive review, then it will certainly strengthen Ramaphosa for next year. And, of course, you could then see a cabinet reshuffle. He would remain president, likely. And as a consequence of that, we could see many people who perhaps oppose the reforms, oppose the South African economy doing well, because they're political opponents of Ramaphosa and they don't want a strong economy under a president who opposes corruption. They might look to return to corruption and state capture. And those people might be removed, you know, in the cabinet reshuffle, or, you know, if you look at the members of parliament, they're now looking for an open voting system that will give the ANC very clear ideas who is for and against Ramaphosa. Look, already we're starting to see the power turn, we're starting to see, you know, support gathering for Ramaphosa. I think, you know, the bottom line here is politicians look to take care of themselves, and, you know, I think if you are seeing the tide turn, you're seeing Ramaphosa's position not as completely weak and vulnerable as perhaps the, you know, political attempt was in the father-father report to weaken him and remove him from the ANC elective conference, then you might see more people sitting on the fence, you know, move back to support Ramaphosa, solidify his position. So politics are very noisy, they're confusing, there's a lot going backwards and forwards in the complex environment. But that's where we sit at the moment, and it does look as though the president will hopefully come through clear and remain president of South Africa, because despite the enormous difficulties he's faced over the past, you know, few years, you know, we've seen from COVID, we've seen from many other factors, it's been a very difficult environment. We still have seen some good progress made. And, of course, you know, next year we could look to see some green electricity coming, projects coming to bear. So I think, you know, all of those reforms that the president has tried to implement would go so much quicker and be better implemented if we could obviously, you know, see his position strengthened.
Absolutely. And Annabel Bishop, thank you so much for joining us. You definitely painted a much more positive picture than what it looked like a week ago. And that's Annabel Bishop, the chief economist from Investec Bank. Thank you for joining us.